Well, as always, I ask for your prayers this morning for the Lord to bless these words, the time that we have together in worship to Him. As we look into the Word for a few minutes this morning, the title of my little burden is This World's Goods. This World's Goods. Book of Matthew, chapter 6, portion of the Sermon on the Mount. I'd like to begin with verse 19, and we'll read down through verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and we'll read through verse 34. Before we begin reading, I'd like to share an experience I had several years ago. I was working on the job. It was a very cold night. It was late. A cold front had come through, and it was very heavy mist in the air behind the front. And before I had left the building that morning to go out on the job, I had not anticipated being out so late, and I had not anticipated it being cold as it was, and I had not anticipated the heavy mist that was going to come in behind it. So I was tired, I was cold, I was wet, I was uncomfortable, and I was a little bit disturbed, because I didn't want to be out so late, cold and wet. I wished I could be home where it was warm with dry clothes and have some food in my stomach. But I remember I got out at this house and was making my way toward the dwelling. And I heard something. I could hear something in the sky. I wasn't sure what that was, but on my way back, I started hearing it much more distinctly. What it was a gaggle of geese flying over from north to south. They were following or taking advantage of the wind behind the cold front. And they were making their way on their migration south. Now, I couldn't see them because it was very dark. And if it hadn't been very dark, there was heavy cloud cover in the mist. But I stood there as long as I could hear them, and they were turning it loose. They were honking just as though they were as happy as they could be. They were really turning it loose that night. And I stood there for a moment, and I listened to that. And I thought, shame on you. Here you are complaining inside about it's cold and it's wet and it's late. But listen. Listen to what I have done. Listen to what I have made. Listen to what I have put in place. They're following instinct. They're taking advantage of this storm, this front that I pushed through here, and they knew it was an opportunity, and they're taking advantage of it. I don't know how far they had flown. I have no idea where they came from. I don't know if they came from Canada. I don't know if they came from the Midwest. I don't know where they came from, but they were migrating south, and they took advantage of the opportunity that God had provided for them. They knew it was an opportunity, and they got in behind that front, and they flew as far as they could fly, going south, day, night. I don't know how many hours they fly. I know this, if you've ever seen a gaggle of geese during the daytime flying overhead in their formation, if you can watch them long enough, you'll see the one in the front. He'll fly there for a ways, and then he'll drop down, and he'll coast, and he'll come in behind the V, because he has been breaking the wind for everybody else behind him, and now it's his time to rest. So he'll drop, and he'll come in behind, and another one pulls up and takes the lead, and he's giving it all he's got. And they do that. They take turns in succession doing the work of breaking the wind and giving resistance, less resistance for those behind them. That's why they fly in a formation of a V, to give decrease the resistance for those coming behind them. And I thought that night, as I was standing there, yeah, shame on you. When this is all done, you've got a home to go home to. You've got a bed to sleep in. There will be food. You have dry clothes. You have all of those things. But here you are stewing about the situation that is very temporary. It's a very temporary situation. The long term and the big picture is you're okay. You're going to be fine. I'm taking care of you. So I'd like for us to read Matthew 6, verse 19. Of a certainty, you and I feel the struggle of dealing with this world's goods. And we feel the struggle in putting them in their right perspective in reference to our service to God. And I'd like for us to read the words of the Master when He was speaking to the multitudes gathered together on the Sermon on the Mount. Beautiful, beautiful message here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Beautiful, beautiful words of the Lord, setting the stage for His ministry. So begin with 6 and 19, Matthew. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, folks, this is the words of the Master. I could read this and not make any comment on it whatsoever, and it wouldn't be necessary for me to make comment on this, to try to expound this. These are the words of the Master. These are the words that you and I need to be able and willing to apply to our lives. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, of a certainty, we know that we have to make plans for future. We have to make plans. We have to make arrangements for things ahead. We know that's the case. We know that the principles of the Scripture teach us to be industrious. We know that the principles there, I think it's in the book of James, where it says, I believe it's in James, where it says, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Folks, that's a true principle. If you don't work, if you're not willing to work, there are those who can't work and would love to work, but if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. The Scripture teaches us plainly that we should not be slothful, lazy. That we shouldn't be in the place where I'm just going to wait for everything to come to me. The Scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Consider how she makes preparation for the future. So there are principles laid out. But surely what the Scripture is telling us here, the words of the Master, is don't put your hope and your anchor and your confidence on the things that you are able to amass here in this world. Because just as surely as you do, I can blow upon it. I can cause it to disappear. Many's a man that has had absolute, perfect, ideal circumstances in life, healthy, strong, vibrant, capable, and suddenly things can change. Illness comes. Disease comes. Tragedy comes. Accident comes. Fire comes. Downturn in economy comes. Loss of contracts come. Those kinds of things can shake the world and ripple the waters, folks, and cause there to be changes where if we have our hope and our assurance set on those things, that when they start to pull away from us, where are we? Worried? Anxious? Fretful? Excited? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Verse 22. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Again, not my words, words in red in my Bible. The words of the one who is capable of giving us the help and the hope that we need. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? This phrase, take no thought, the Greek definition of this word means, this phrase, to be anxious, to be troubled with cares. Troubled with cares. Now I say to you this morning, it would be a foolish position for anyone to take to fold their hands, go home, sit down in your chair, and never lift a finger. Say, the Lord will provide. Take no thought. I'm just going to say, take no thought. I say to you, that's a foolish position to take. You'll find out what happens at the end of that road. Your stomach will grumble. Your things will fall into disarray and disrepair, because there are things that you and I must do in conjunction, in concert with working with the God who created us and gave us the abilities to do the things that we can do. Gave us the ability to think and reason. Gave us motor skills. Gave us the ability to understand and comprehend how to move, how to respond, how to react. These bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, and certainly they're not made for you or me just to be a couch potato. I understand that there are those who are not able to work. I understand that there are those who are limited in what they are able to do. But I say to us, if we have the mindset that take no thought, I'm just going to sit back and the Lord's going to take care of everything, because that's what His Word says, take no thought. I'll have food and I'll have clothes and I'll have shelter. So I'm not going to worry about a thing. I'm just going to wait for everybody to bring it to me. You can do that. You can do that. But what this Scripture means is, don't be burdened down with it. Put first things first. That night, whenever I heard that gaggle of geese going over, in my mind I could picture what was happening. I could picture them just honking for all they were worth. I could picture in my mind that one in the lead taking it as far as he could take it, and then dropping down and floating back and getting in behind and say, I can rest a little while now. I can rest. Let somebody else take the brunt of this. I could just picture that in my mind, and I think, if God is able to put that in the mind of a goose, what is He able to do for me? I say unto you, take no anxious thought. Don't be troubled with cares for your life. Don't be over anxious about it. Don't be troubled with cares about it. What you're going to have, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Is not the body, is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? And I want to read to you what Adam Clark said on this verse 25 with that last little phrase there. It says, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Can he who gave us our body and breathed into it the breath of life before we could ask them from Him. You see, before we could ever ask anything of God, while we're just a lifeless form, if you will, before in the womb, before I could ever consciously utter anything to God about what my needs are, before we could ever ask these things from Him, will He refuse us that which is necessary to preserve both? And when we ask it in humble confidence, I understand getting anxious sometimes. I've been there. Been in a place where what little bit I was able to save up was fastly depleting because I didn't have a job and couldn't find a place that would hire me because the economy was so bad, so flat, so poor. And when I did find a job, I remember one week bringing home a check for $75. And I didn't even want to show it to my wife. Because that wasn't going to do it. And I knew it wasn't going to do it. Had to try to find a way to make ends meet. Those are the kind of things that will cause a person to be a little bit anxious, won't they? But I'll say to you that when we have our focus first on the Lord, He is able to make all the other things come into their proper place. Yes, when the doorbell rings and a widow stands at your door saying, "The Lord told me to give you this." If He knows how to cause a goose to take advantage of the north wind and knows how to cause them to be able to help one another out and work for each other and work together, does He not know how to help His children? I'm thinking in this morning, when I say this world's goods, I'm saying in a couple of different ways. One, I don't want us to be burdened and over-anxious about this world's goods. Surely we need this world's goods in order to subsist and exist in life. We must have a certain amount of this world's goods. And I say that we ought to be good stewards of the world's goods, the things that the Lord has given to us. But we also know by the Scriptures that if we put our hope and hang our assurance on this world's goods, it's fleeting. It's temporary. The circumstances are very fluid concerning this world's goods. They can be good today and not good tomorrow. I can have plenty today and tomorrow my house is burned to the ground with all of my contents. And I don't know where I'm going to go next or what I'm going to do next. Those things can happen and they do happen just that quickly. I can't put my hope, trust, and confidence on those things, although I have to have them to exist. But I know that I can anchor my hope in one who is able to work through these circumstances with me and help me as I go through life. Verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you," listen to these words, "that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things, all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, I'm going to share a little story that most everybody in the building is familiar with. Probably the children will recognize this. Chicken Little. You remember the story of Chicken Little? Acorn fell out of a tree and hit her on top of the head. Sky is falling! The sky is falling! How do you know the sky is falling? Well, I'm going to go find... I got to go tell Lion about it. I got to let Lion know that the sky is falling. Comes along and finds Henny Penny. Henny Penny, the sky is falling. How do you know? Well, it just fell and hit me on the head. It bumped me on top of the head. Got to go tell Lion. So Henny Penny says, I'm going to go with you. So Henny Penny and Chicken Little run and try to find Lion. And they come across Ducky Lucky. Ducky Lucky, sky is falling, the sky is falling. Well, how do you know the sky? Well, it hit me on the head. Got to go tell Lion. Well, let's go find Lion. So they run into Foxy Loxy. Foxy Loxy, the sky is falling. We got to go tell Lion. Well, do you know where he is? No. Don't know where Lion is. Well, I do. Now, here's Chicken Little, Henny Penny, Ducky Lucky, and Foxy Loxy. Foxy Loxy says, I know where Lion is. Come with me. Goes to the den. Says, come in here. Guess who comes out? Foxy Loxy. The other three don't come out. Why? Because they were following nothing but their emotions, and they let that take advantage of them, and they weren't using common sense, and they didn't understand and realize that Foxy Loxy was just luring them down into her den, in her hole, and she had a good supper. And Henny Penny, Ducky Lucky, Turkey Lurkey, whatever, Chicken Little, they all found themselves in the hole with a fox. The moral of that story is, folks, don't let yourself be overcome by the whims and the fancies and the emotions. And if we're not careful, we'll let this world's goods control us and drive us and lead us to a place that we are in trouble because we have lost focus of the reality. What was it that hit Chicken Little on the head? It was an acorn. And if Chicken Little had taken enough time to look around and see what it was that happened and investigate the situation, it was an acorn that fell out of the tree and hit me on the top of the head. She wouldn't have found Ducky Lucky. She wouldn't have found Henny Penny and tried to run and find Lion. And she wouldn't have come across Foxy Loxy and ended up in the hole as supper. If we're not careful, folks, we'll allow ourselves to be driven by the irrational things of this world that cause us to be led into a place to where the enemy takes advantage of us and steals the things that God has wanted us to enjoy in this life. This world's goods, I'm going to tell you, folks, this world's goods, they are here for us to make proper use of. They are here for us to know how to make the most benefit of them. God has put them at our disposal. He tells us the things that we ought to do and not to do. The things that we ought to enjoy and the things that we ought to refrain. The Lord God does all those things through us. And Jesus, through these verses that I just read to you from the Sermon on the Mount, is giving us some valuable instruction about what we should do with the things around us. Now, I say to us today, it is so easy to walk by the beautiful things of the Lord and not see them and not take notice of them and not be able to recognize the God of all creation and what He is attempting to do for us. I want to share this with you. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was, my wife sent me a picture on the phone. Yeah, I have one of those kinds of phones. It's a picture of a doe in the front side yard at the house, my house, our house. And in that picture is a young, she's not an old, but she's a young doe, fairly small. She had a fawn. And in this picture, in this doe and fawn in my side front yard, the fawn is nursing. Right there in my front yard. Right there in my front yard. Within 1/4 mile of my house, I've seen deer, fox, coyote, possum, squirrel, flying squirrel, rabbit, mink, skunk, bobcat, bear. Bear? I'm satisfied that I saw black bear. Wild hog, eagle, turkey, geese, ducks. I love to go out late in the evening, in the wintertime, and just before it's too dark to see, look up into the sky and hear the whistling of the wings of the ducks flying over. Usually they're coming from the south, going to north. I have every idea they're headed to Z. Murray's over here to land in some of these lakes and spend the night in those lakes. Do you know how easy it is to walk by all those things? Do you know how easy it is to miss those kinds of things? Now, I understand that people have different things that they enjoy and they really find appreciation in. I realize that. Some would say, why would you waste your time sitting on the patio looking to see if you could see a deer or a turkey or a goose or go out late in the evening when it's dark, almost dark, and see if you could see ducks flying over? Some people say, why you waste your time doing that? I say, I don't think I'm wasting my time. I want to stand out there and see a part of God. I want to hear from Him. I remember hearing Brother Marty say to us one time, and I've heard him say it more than once, have you ever stepped outside at night and look up into the sky and see on a clear, clear night the depth of the sky and the stars that just seem to keep coming into view? Then the more you look, the more they're there and say, where do I belong in all of this? How do I fit into all of this? We fit because we're part of what God has put here. And He has put some of this world's good in this world for you and me to take notice of, so that when we see those things, that I can appreciate who God is and what He is and what He has done. And so I can put things in their proper perspective and realize that even though I must have some of this world's goods, that I can't hang my hat on them. That I can't just trust in them all the time. They are elusive, folks. They are fickle. They're flighty. I have to realize I can't trust them to be stable and constant, but I can trust one who will be a stable, constant influence in life, and that is God. And that is why He said through His Son, Jesus Christ, don't lay up treasures on earth. Moth and rust are going to corrupt those things. Thieves break through and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven. I say to us, if we're not careful, we'll walk right by some of the most precious things that God has placed in this world, this world's goods, if you will, and we'll miss some of the blessings of God in the little things, the flowers. Now, I mentioned wildlife just a moment ago. And I'm sure there are some in here who don't pay a whole lot of attention to wildlife, but they look at plants and shrubs and trees and flowers, and it just speaks to them of the intricacy of God. When He put all these details into these, the colors and the way He does it, folks, this world, what God has placed here should speak volumes to us of who He is. And if we have our focus and our attention on, I will be rich, I will amass, I will have these things, I will have these goods, we're going to miss out on the true riches, the true goods that God has for us. We're going to lose our focus on who really is the one that we should be putting our focus and attention on. Book of James, chapter 4. Familiar passage. Chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year. I'm going to be there all year. I'm going to buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, there's not a thing wrong with making plans. Look, I've got a business venture I'm fixing to get into. I need to go put things in order for it. So I'm trying to make plans and arrangements for that. And if the Lord wills, if He'll bless me, then this thing works. We'll be providing for my family, if the Lord will. You see, one of the main ingredients in our lives, folks, that we ought to incorporate when we're making our plans is, remember always, and I don't always say it, and you don't have to always say it, but have it in my mind always that if the Lord will, this can be accomplished. If I say, I will do this, I will do that, I will go here, I will go there, I might and I might not. Because I don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't know what will happen before the sun sets this day that could change the course of my life or your life. I don't know. But if the Lord wills, we'll be back together this evening for worship service. If the Lord wills that. Now, I'm not going to get myself bound down and twisted into knots and tied up like a pretzel, thinking I have to say, if the Lord will, on everything I do. But I need to have that in the forefront of my mind. I can't control, and I don't control everything. And if God will bless me, those are the things I need to have. It needs to be a part of my mental state, if the Lord will. If I push Him out of my life, folks, I'm hanging myself and future on things that are uncertain, as stable as the clouds, that change and move. Back to Matthew 6 as we close. With the last verse of the chapter. Take therefore no thought. Or again, don't be troubled with cares for tomorrow. Don't be troubled with cares for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Most of you have lived long enough to realize that I've got enough to deal with today instead of borrowing trouble from tomorrow and packing that into today and dealing with the trouble for today and tomorrow, because I just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And if tomorrow is anything like today, oh, woe is me, I think I'll just go cover my head in a bunker somewhere and won't even come out because I don't know what's going to happen. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Here's another little comment from Adam Clark on this verse. And it really caught my attention. And I had to say as I read this, Lord, help this man. Help this man. Speaking to myself. The future falls under the cognizance of God alone. You see, I can't even tell what tomorrow might be. Now, I might have plans for tomorrow. If everything goes as it normally has, there are certain routines that we face each day. And I have reason to think that if the sun rises tomorrow and God gives us another day, that routine will exist tomorrow. All right? The future falls under the cognizance of God alone. We encroach, therefore, upon His rights when we would fain foresee all that may happen to us and secure ourselves from it by our cares, by our anxiety. Realizing that there are reasonable precautions that we need to take in life, I need to realize that if the weather forecast tells me that we're going to be under a hurricane warning starting at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening, that I need to take some common sense approaches and start working toward making preparation for an impending storm. Now, it may or may not come. It may turn. It may dissipate. But wisdom tells me I need to be prepared. I need to make preparation for that. But if all I do every day is think about, tomorrow. Oh, what about tomorrow? Oh, what am I going to do for tomorrow? Oh, wring my hands about tomorrow. Folks, the future belongs to God. That's His day. He knows what's in it. I have enough to worry about in the day in which I live today to get through and manage. And if tomorrow comes, I'll deal with tomorrow when it gets here. And if there's things that I must do in preparation, I need to make in my mind and do as much as I can to be prepared for them. But with everything in its proper perspective. Because Jesus said, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? What can you do to change it? If there's going to be a hurricane, I can't blow it away. I can't go outside and wave my arms and jump up and down and holler, stop, stop, don't come here. If it's going to come, it's going to come. What I can do is make preparation, be as prepared as I can for it. Other things, events in life, folks, if they're going to come, they're going to come. Our first and foremost advice from our Lord is to anchor our hope in Him. Not lay our treasures up on earth, but lay our treasures up in heaven. And when we put things in their proper place, everything else falls into order. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. May God bless each one. And may I encourage this to you with this. If you have a tendency to worry and fret, be careful. If you have a tendency to walk right by God's beautiful, beautiful creation, may I encourage you to stop. Stop sometimes and smell the roses. May I encourage you sometime to stop and look up at the sky? May I encourage you sometime to stop and take a quiet moment and acknowledge God in the beautiful world that He has created around us? Because the Scripture tells us in the book of Genesis, in the book of the beginnings, that when God was finished, He looked at everything He had made and says, and behold, it was very good. I believe that. And if I'm going to focus on this world's goods, I want to put my focus on the proper goods that God has created. You pray for me. Amen.